It's very stressful. We're losing about $25,000 a month, or I should say we're loaning the state, in effect, because that's what we're spending for crisis services and homeless youth, of which the state currently has no ability to pay us for those services. So we'll be about $320,000 to $30,000 by the end of June if this isn't resolved.
How have you managed to keep things going?
Project Oz has a history of board members who have helped us be very conservative in how we spend. And so we've been able to use reserves, which of course we're quickly using up. But that's allowed us to continue to provide the services because, you know, families in crisis and youth who are homeless don't know the state's in a financial crisis, so they still are having need for services.
What happens at the end of the fiscal year if the FY16 is not resolved?
Well, for us, it will mean that we're no longer able to provide the crisis services that we were able to respond, usually to law enforcement 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, when they have a young person who's been in crisis, who's run away or been kicked out of the house, that we'll go and literally pick that youth up from the police department and provide services to the youth and their family to figure out what to do about it. And we get approximately 150 youth a year in those services, so the crisis portion will cease. We also provide some emergency shelter for young homeless people, and that will also cease. For instance, currently we have a young woman who is pregnant, and she's going to give birth in about 2 weeks, and we have her emergency sheltered, but that won't be available to her after July 1 if this isn't resolved.
Well, 150 youth per year, that's about one every 3 days.
Correct.
On average. What will happen to those kids?
Law enforcement will try to push them home, and they'll continue to have crisis and run away. Some of them will end up in detention because the family tension will get so bad that somebody will push or shove or throw a punch, and so then you have a domestic dispute, and the youth will probably end up in detention. More youth will go to the Department of Children and Family Services, which they're already overwhelmed and can't handle the real severe cases of child abuse right now because they're just so understaffed and so overwhelmed with cases. It's just going to continue to put more and more stress on the situation.
So it's going to create more costs by not having you.
Yes. We save the state a lot of money by diverting youth from the criminal justice system and the child welfare system. In addition to, by providing those services, it's better for youth and their families to keep them out of those systems. Because one, those systems are expensive, and two, once you get into those kind of formal systems, things take on a life of their own, and things become very beyond control. And it's an expensive way to treat youth and families who don't need it.
Do you have any prospect of eventually being paid on this current fiscal year's contract?
We're told by the staff of the state of Illinois who work for the governor, they have every intention of paying us. However, since the governor vetoed the appropriation to pay for us, there is technically no legal way the state can pay us until there's an appropriation that the governor approves.
Some organizations have not been able to wait.
That is correct.
How many across the state doing what you do have folded their tents?
I'm aware of at least four of the places who provide the similar service to us, because there's a service like us throughout the state to try to create a completely covered state so that youth are in crisis have an appropriate response. Four of them have gone completely out of business. A lot of the rest of them have really cut back. For instance, south of us in Decatur, Illinois, they have cut back to a single staff person who is trying to handle everything and be on call 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year, which is impossible for one person to be able to do. So I don't know how long that's even going to last. Springfield, Illinois is very close to having to stop services, crisis services too. So the whole system is slowly grinding to a halt. In the Chicago area, where some of these providers have gone out, what's happened is the law enforcement are just taking the youth in crisis and dropping them at the DCFS office because they have an office that's open in the evenings and at night. So more of these kids are just being ended up in DCFS, and they don't have the budget and the staff and things to be able to handle it either. So I don't know exactly what's happening on a day-to-day basis other than they're being inundated with youth they don't know what to do with.
How many people would lose their jobs at Project Oz if the contract ends at the end of the fiscal year and you are unable to continue providing these crisis services and these ongoing homeless services?
We could lose 3 staff people, full-time direct service staff people, if this isn't resolved.
Lutheran Social Services laid off 40% of its workforce statewide. That's the big statewide example. Is your agency's story a more common one on the scale of things? Lots of little, smaller agencies being eroded?
Yes, I think so. What's happening a lot is as the providers begin laying off staff and trying to keep going, a lot of the really young, smart staff who are getting into human services are leaving. They're saying this is not a field for us because there's no stability, there's no support from our political leaders. So we're having kind of a brain drain. So one of the things that we're really worried about in general is when this is finally resolved, assuming that we do, what are we left with? You know, we'll have to rebuild our employment, retrain new staff. It's going to be really tough. And, you know, when you're a family in crisis, you don't want a new untrained staff as your only response. You would much rather have a more seasoned, experienced person because they can really help you much better.
So you're also losing not only frontline experience, but succession planning for when people like you eventually retire, the mid-level people who have that experience would step up, and they're going now.
They are going, yes.
How is the social service landscape in the state of Illinois being reshaped? Is there a comparison to another era here?
Well, you know, I'm really unsure, and when I talk to my peers about it, it's like new territory that we have never really encountered before. I mean, we've had to make some cuts, but we've never been this financially devastated so quickly. We're very worried, very stressed, and we're not exactly sure how to respond.
Is it likely to look like it did in the 1930s or 1920s or turn of the 19th century? What?
I think it's going to be very disruptive to communities. You're going to have more homeless people, not only homeless young people, but homeless adults, because the homeless adult system is also being financially stressed because of this, who are going to be hanging around the streets. That's going to stress some neighborhoods. It's going to stress some businesses. You're going to have more folks end up in the criminal justice system, which is going to be very expensive for local communities. We already know that, you know, our jail has way too many people suffering mental illness that's untreated. And, you know, trying to respond to that is very expensive. The criminal justice system is not an appropriate place to try to treat people. It's going to stress a lot of things like that. The hospital emergency rooms are going to see more and more people. A lot of the young people we get in crisis, instead of receiving some services, the crisis will continue to get worse until they end up in the ER with either a mental health crisis or a physical health crisis. You don't want young people who are stressing their families just being out on the streets, because when they're out on the streets, they're going to survive in ways that are not helpful to anyone. We are already seeing, you know, young people engaging in survival sex as just one way to try to eat and have a place to stay.
Prostituting themselves.
Correct. So currently, you know, we're still responding as we find those youth, but when this money in our contract isn't in effect, there won't be anybody to respond other than law enforcement.
This is happening in Bloomington Normal. People of what ages, in what circumstance, and why are they turning to this?
Okay, well, for instance, we just recently had a young woman who had just aged out of the DCFS foster care system. She had no place to go, no place to stay. Her last foster home kicked her out, and because she was now just turned 18, the child welfare system was pretty much done with her. She started couch hopping and found that the only way she continued to stay at a place was through trading sex for shelter, so survival sex. Once we became aware of her, we were able to work with her and get her into a shelter. She's now on track to get into an apartment funded through the federal government, not the state. Fortunately, the federal government is still running. And she's going to community college, and she's working, and she's no longer having to engage in survival sex. And that's exactly what we want, because hopefully, you know, she'll get her college education, and she'll be a productive person, pay tax rather than causing us to spend tax money on her.
How many times per year is her story popping up?
Regularly, unfortunately. We also have, like, another young woman who was kicked out of her house. She moved in her boyfriend. She became pregnant. That was a really bad relationship. So she fled from that relationship. She had no home to go to. And so we have her in our emergency shelter, and she'll give birth in a couple weeks. And so we're hoping to, you know, that we'll get her on a good trajectory too. But if we weren't there, I'm not sure what would have happened to her. Very likely what would happen is she would give birth, be homeless, so Department of Children and Family Services would have to take the child and put it in the child welfare foster care system. And that's not an outcome we want. If that can totally be prevented from the front end, which is probably what we will be able to do, we're going to allow her to probably have a much more normal life, in a life where we're not spending a lot of tax money on her.
You've been sharing this kind of story with lawmakers for a while. Why has it not resulted in a change in tactics, do you think?
I don't know. When we talked, for instance, to our local legislators, they really want this to be resolved. Unfortunately, they don't seem able to get beyond their leadership to actually do something productive. They feel our pain, but until we really address a revenue solution long-term for the state, this is never going to get better. You know, a few years back, right after the recession, the legislature passed a temporary income tax increase. And at the time that income tax increase passed, Human Services and many others had already taken huge cuts. Payments were like 6 or 7 months behind in the state paying us, and their unpaid bills were in the billions of dollars. Once they had created that temporary income tax, it created enough new revenue that the bill payments started to improve. There were no more cuts coming, and things were beginning to stabilize. And just as things were sort of looking up is when the gubernatorial election happened, the temporary income tax rolled off, and we've just stumbled along in this horrible trajectory at the moment where we do not have enough revenue to support the system in the state. And that has to be addressed.
Assuming that we want the state to continue what it has done.
Well, unfortunately, a lot of what the state has done, they don't have a lot of choice in. We have to provide certain basic services. I mean, the federal courts have said so in terms of child welfare, mental health services, services for people with developmental disabilities. I mean, a lot of those types of things is the state responsibility, and no matter how much you wish it away, it's going to be the state's responsibility. You need to be an adult and figure out the best way to pay for it.
Peter Ronkaitis is with Project Oz. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
I'm Charlie Schlenker.